What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. My name is Matt Hensley, and I am joined by most always, except for like the last 3 weeks, Kyle, non-alcoholic beerman, and we together are joined by Dr. Mark Dance. And I think he hates being called Dr. Mark Dance, but I'm going to do it anyway. Mark Dance, how are you doing? It's good to see your shining face.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, my face shines a lot because I've got that pink skin like you do, man. It's just it's just the glow. We need a veil of some type.
For sure. And Kyle, how are you doing? Your Rangers, they showed up at
the
All-Star game. They did not really show out. You know,
I mean, their performance at the plate wasn't great, but their defense was stellar last night. Yeah. Defense was outstanding. At one point, there were 6 of the 9 Rangers on the field for the American League. How many starters did the Astros have, Matt?
The manager.
Okay, I'll give you a half.
I think the bat boy was a Ranger.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it was an Astro.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about today, nor are we talking about Rangers baseball, even though they're still in first place.
In first place, baby.
Still in first place.
At the break.
Hanging
we'll
on.
See how long that lasts, but they're
in first
place at the break.
But they are in first place. But anyway, hey, Kyle, to set this up, there's an opening sentence in an article that I pulled up a moment ago. When we kind of think about finishing well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to tweak it and say that the ministry started with promise, but by the end of their career, the pastor felt the pain of failing to finish well. Now, you see, that was kind of weird because the sentence actually said the day started with promise, but by the end of the night, the Texas Rangers felt the pain of failing to clinch a world title. What am I hearkening back to when we think about finishing well for the Rangers?
So I believe you're bringing up one of the worst memories of my life. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
So that'd be the 2011 World Series, right? Game 6, where the Rangers were, firmly in the driver's seat until 2 outs. 2 strikes in the 9th inning, then gave it up to Bart Barber's St. Louis Cardinals. You know, I remember a pastor years ago made this analogy in the sermon. He said, you know, the most useless statistic in all of sports is the halftime score, because it doesn't matter at all. You know, so I guess you could say the same thing. You know, the most useless stat in baseball is the score after the 8th inning, right? Unless you get rained out, that score doesn't matter because there's so much that can happen in the 9th inning. So it's not starting well is important, but finishing well is really, that's where the rubber meets the road in so much of life.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. Mark Dance has recently written, or I guess it was not as recently written because this is really something you have been living out and talking about and teaching through, and then finally putting down on paper for people to be able to read themselves. And that is Start to Finish, The Pastor's Guide to Leading a Resilient Life in Ministry. The Puritans would be proud of that title, my brother. It was released on June 6th. So how do you feel having giving birth to a book? How does it feel?
Wow, no one's ever asked that question. Giving birth to a book. It feels great. It was a very long gestation period. This would be what I would consider my core ministry message. And so I took my time. I got a great team around me to help process my thoughts, and it's just been a wonderful experience. Just 1 month from when it was released, and I'm thrilled by the response so far.
Mark, that's something you've talked about before, is that a lot of pastors and a lot of leaders seem to have like that one message you know, that one kind of thing that really marks their ministry, not so much just one sermon, but just like a theme, focus, whatever it is, that everybody seems to just have that one thing. And why do you think finishing well, serving well, you know, that is just the mark of your ministry? Why has God really placed that on your heart, do you think?
You know, the whole book really is about leading a great commandment life, and as well as a great commission ministry. But there's so many books about that are great commission focused, preaching focused, about our ministry. This book is about a pastor's life. It is centered around what Jesus said was the most important thing in the whole Bible. So that was, I had to answer that question myself. Do we really need another book? Do pastors, ministers, missionaries need another book? Well, this is why it's a core message for me, is because God got my attention one day during just studying scripture, and the Great Commandment came alive to me. I'd taught it many times, as you guys have. Everybody knows the Great Commandment. The scribe knew it when he asked Jesus what the greatest command was. He already knew the answer. He'd said it every morning and evening, every day of his life, as his parents and grandparents had done. However, it wasn't reflected on my schedule, because the Great Commandments, it's about relationships. It's not so much the functions of ministry, which are important. Go baptize, teach, you know, change the world. Make disciples, which is what I heard in the first 30 years of my marriage or my ministry. That's the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing is always the Great Commission. Except then I read Jesus saying, well, not really. Actually, the main thing that was what he told the scribe, and is in all four gospels, is the most important thing you're going to do is to love God. And the second commandment, he only asked for one main thing, of course, love your neighbor. Without the first thing, it's just humanism, right? So starting with God, and these are inseparable in many ways, but first is not just first in order, it's first in importance. And so I looked on my calendar and I realized, hey, you know what? I had breakfast meetings and I had other meetings in the morning that were first. And he's like, hey, I want to be first. And protos means first. It means most important. And so I just rescheduled my life and ministry to reprioritize my first love. And it really, out of that, it also helped my ministry, obviously, because every great commandment pastor is going to be a great commission pastor. But not every great commission pastor is a great commandment pastor. And I wanted to be both. So that's the core message of the book.
I love it. You mentioned that this is kind of the culmination of your ministry to this point, right? So, I mean, if I understood right, you said kind of, I think everything in your ministry was kind of building up to what has come into this book so far. And so talk to us a little bit, because I know you've served at Lifeway, you served with the Oklahoma Convention, now you're with Guidestone. How have you seen just the need for that play out over the years, and not only in your own life, but in the life of just pastors that you've known?
Sure. Well, I mean, really, most of this came from field experience as a senior pastor. I was a lead pastor for 27 years before Tom Rainer asked me to start Lifeway Pastors in October. That'd be nine years ago almost. And so I went from being pastor to pastor advocate, and I've been doing that, you know, now with Guidestone, as you said. And as I serve alongside other pastor advocates at seminaries, state conventions, associations, I realize that regardless of what the title is, whether they're working on the mission field, in the local church, or where they are on their org chart, we're all drawing back to the same job description in 1 Timothy 3. In Titus 1. And we look even there, we're not looking so much as the task as we are the person, the character, and the relationships. And one of the things that kind of surprised me, although I was familiar with it, is as I started to go around the country to serve pastors in these different places, I asked the question, has anyone ever heard of another profession on the planet besides ours that requires that you succeed both at work and home? And I really expected there to be some out there. It wasn't a trick question. I was just curious. And for 9 years, I've asked that question to a lot of people in a lot of settings, and yet have heard of one profession that has, you know, their spouse and kids in there. And so, you know, this relational kind of pecking order that God has for all of us, but especially for pastors, non-negotiable, is pretty simple. I mean, this book is, it's old school. There are no secrets or shortcuts in there. And so it's, to answer your question, is out of the field experience of being a pastor and struggling through to keep the priorities of my love for my first love hot, you know, for Jesus, my second love hot for Janet, right? And then on through the people in my life, my family, friends, church members, lost people, enemies, you know, we're all called to love all of them, and all of them are equal in God's sight. But at the end of the day, we're not God, right? So he says, they're not all equal to you. You need to demote some people. And, you know, yesterday I went to my first wedding shower, and I'm not proud of that, but 58 years old. I've never been to a wedding shower before. I was a little nervous, I'll be honest, with some colleagues here. And listen, the cake was awesome. All right, they had some awesome cake. And they had a couple of games that were, you know, suspect. But the at the end of it, they said, does anybody have any marriage advice? And some summer interns started to give them marriage advice, and they weren't even married. And I'm like, I'm not sure they were asking you. You know, it was just, I didn't say that, but in my head, I was like, should you give it marriage advice if you hadn't been married? You know, I don't know. But when it came to my turn, my marriage advice was, well, according to Moses and Jesus, the best advice I can give you is to break up with your parents on your wedding day. And,
amen.
It got kind of quiet in there. And I said, you know, I said, you know what the cleave means to pursue hard. That actually starts after the wedding. But the cleaving part's going to be hard if you don't do the leaving part. And so I said, on August 11th, which is their wedding day, said, everybody in your life besides each other gets a demotion. And that's a constant state of growing your marriage and your ministry and to keeping them healthy is to put people in the right place. And in doing so, you disciple them, because nobody likes to hear wait or no, but when you teach them, and I think especially for pastors, because we don't like to say no, but that's where a lot of these priorities came from, is from scripture, old texts like Genesis 2, you know, the leave and cleave came there all the way through, to the end. You know, if we get to the end of our life, our testimony's still intact. We still love our family, and you know that's what I consider a strong finish.
Yeah, I actually shared this morning that in a given month I usually meet with around 100, 125 or so pastors, and you know this because you do the same thing, Kyle. You know this, you know, as you go across the country, you know, whether it's coffee, lunch, just hanging out, whatever it is, some are struggling at home and thriving at their church. Some are thriving at church and struggling at in home. Or I just flip that, thriving at home and struggling at church. Some are thriving at both, struggling at both, whatever. It's all ups and downs. There's highs, lows, cancer diagnoses. I knew on Facebook to say leadership problems instead of deacon possession, that I think I lifted from you, that I used on Twitter, because I do have a lot of friends that are deacons. So I wanted to be very careful there on Facebook. But all of that kind of stuff, highs, lows, things that they celebrate. And you've touched on the relationship that we have with God, relationship that we have with our spouse. But one of the things that you note in the book is that pastors who attempt to do ministry alone are in grave danger of falling short of their ministry line, their ministry career. They will struggle to finish well. Why do you think having relationships with other pastors, other people like you, DOMs, state people, why is it helpful to have more people in your corner than just you?
Yeah, great question. Honestly, it's important because we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family of God. And as leaders, sometimes we stiff arm our people. And some of that comes from just really bad discipleship. When I became a pastor, it was in 1987. And the common mantra there was, don't make friends of church members. It was stated openly. It was practiced. And I looked it up in the Bible and it wasn't there. And I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, and don't become friends with staff members. Now, of course, there's going to be different relational dynamics and, you know, that's going to be anywhere. But life's too hard and ministry too hard to do alone. And the model of the Apostle Paul had, you know, countless people. We have no idea who they are. 30 people at the end of Romans, for example, all these people, 10,000 miles he traveled. No hint of him ever being alone. Sometimes he felt lonely. Sometimes he wanted more of his friends there, but he at least had a ride or die like Luke or Onesiphorus or somebody along with him. And Matt, you know, one of the first things I realized after becoming a pastor advocate for, you know, for Lifeway initially, is that the other pastor advocates, the other Barnabases, like you guys, needed a Barnabas also. Every Barnabas needs a Barnabas. And so I'm like the guy that's not on your org chart that can hang out and be a safe place to talk about stuff because everybody's ministry is a lot harder than it looks. And so ministry gets the ministry isolation is, I think, one of the most preventable problems in the pastorate. I mean, I know it is because, you know, I read about surveys that talk about isolation ministry and people feeling alone. I'm like, why? There are people around us all the time. If you're a Southern Baptist pastor and you feel alone, then you need to blame yourself because there are around you, there are association leaders, state venture leaders, NAM. I mean, there's a whole army. You just sort of make eye contact with them and a whole cavalry will come. And the it's, you know, out west, it's in some places it's harder to get with the local pastors. But again, there are rally points for us and we need to prioritize those because we need every disciple maker needs to be discipled and every encourager needs to be encouraged. So just take that personally. Be offended if you want to, but if you're lonely and if your spouse is lonely, because I think isolation among pastors and ministry spouses is even higher. And if you're the leader of your home, you need to make sure that your wife is not serving in isolation as well.
Mark, you've been in ministry how many years? How many years now?
36
years. You shared that earlier. I wanted to get it right. So 36 years of ministry and, you know, incalculable number of people that you've, you know, taught, preached to, shared to, or ministered to through writing, blogs, all of that kind of stuff. How many have you met that wake up and think, how can I blow it up today? How can I ruin everything today? How many have you met that want to do that?
I've never met one.
Yeah. And that's what I loved about the beginning of your book. Nobody wakes up and says, how can I screw up so royally to ruin all of this? Nobody wakes up. It's usually the mistakes here and there that kind of get out of control, all of that kind of stuff. And that's why I really appreciate this book, just walking through step by step through scripture, through our priorities that you've walked through today and more. Tell us a little bit about kind of what's coming from this book. I know you mentioned in the book about some ministry pipeline or leadership pipeline that this is going to be used for mentoring as well, because this isn't just for the guy at the end of his career or just the middle or at the beginning. It's all of it. And anybody, those that are soon to come into the ministry. So tell us a little bit about what's coming. And then Kyle, you can close us out with asking any kind of final stuff. So.
Well, yeah, thanks for asking that, because even the subtitle kind of gives it away. The Pastor's Guide to Leading a Resilient Life in Ministry, a guidebook that I would hope would be used by ministers together. Ideally, someone who is a decade younger or older than you are. And because of in the first half of the book, as we focus on the first commandment, I break down heart, soul, mind, and strength. So those are easy to say, but they're sensitive topics. You're talking about physical health, and you're talking about, your relational health. You're talking about mental health, heart, soul, mind, strength. It's an integrated whole life discipleship. The big word in the Great Commandment is all, right? And so you're laying out those personal things, not in a big group, but in a cohort, handful, or even one-on-one would be ideal. The second half talks about, the second commandment, breaks down that's concentric circles, that pecking order. And again, it gets pretty sensitive. It even goes to the self, love your neighbors yourself. So self-care, how strategic that is. And what's been encouraging so far in just this first month is how many conventions and associations have made big bulk orders, because they want their pastors to, and they're using them in cohort type of groups, which is outstanding, because that's what I want. I want them to encourage each other. I don't just want encouragement from me through these pages, but that it would facilitate some encouragement. And you guys are encouragers. I'm gonna just say you've encouraged so many people in and out of the convention, but I'm one of those people. I'm like, because the uncles need encouragement. I'm one of those crazy uncles that's been around a minute, and we need encouragement. And so when you get fired up, like I was before we got on here, I was just bragging on Kyle and his blog post, The Coming Reality and Revitalization, that they just wrote in the Baptist Press Toolbox. A lot of us talk about it, Guidestone, because it talks about the small church pastor. It talks about the financial realities of what it means to pastor like you're full-time, but get paid like you're part-time, and how you can negotiate. So, that's what we're talking about at Guidestone, is how can we teach pastors financial literacy and financial advocacy? No one teaches us, how to talk to search teams and finance personnel committees. And so we're working on some tools to help them with that. And for that matter, just personal financial management, because that's part of finishing well. The not just the physical and mental health, but the financial health, the financial security. That's part of resilience. And I just love a good, strong finish. And I want to illustrate that today, because it's not how you start, really, what team you start on, it's how you finish. And I'm holding up, since those listening can't see my Nolan Ryan bobblehead, that Kyle's not the only Texas Ranger fan on here.
Amen. And
Nolan Ryan did get a few reps at the Houston Astros, quite a few actually. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so I'm praying for you, Matt, that someday you'll become a legitimate, not a poser, but a legitimate Texas Ranger fan. Since you are from Dallas and you live in Metro Dallas, that you will return to your first love, and Sorry, I got off track there, but I didn't want to lose the opportunity of helping Kyle.
I mean, I can't think of a better application for what we've been talking about, in all honesty.
Thank you.
I love y'all. Hey, Mark, thank you so much. I look forward to walking through some of our pastors with this and getting you back out. You've encouraged Kyle. I want to encourage you. We still have folks that have been encouraged by your talk at Lebanon Baptist at one of our executive board meetings, and you'll thank come you. And preach to us. Kyle won't. But we appreciate you and your word you shared there. And I'm looking forward to getting some of our pastors to go through this as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kyle?
Yeah. Well, Mark, the book is Start to Finish, The Pastor's Guide to Leading a Resilient Life and Ministry, available on Amazon, available on Lifeway, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can find books. Mark, give us the like the one sentence takeaway. So that's going to get somebody to click on the buy now the link there. So just give us the one sentence. Like, what do you hope that somebody takes away from the book?
Yeah, basically, what you do now will affect what you're going to do later. So a one sentence summary of that would be actually a one verse summary. 1 Timothy 4:16, pay close attention to your life, starts with life, and your teaching. Persevere in these things, be resilient, persevere in these things, for in doing this, you save not only yourself, but also your hearers. So the collateral blessing of paying attention to your life, which is hopefully the trajectory of this book, will not only bless you, but bless all the people that you've been called to serve, starting with your family and including all those in your ministry.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Kyle, kind of. But Mark, thank you for coming on. Grateful for you and your role at Guidestone and keeping hands in line. We appreciate that. And we will put in the show notes a link to purchase this book, and obviously on the socials and so forth. You can also look at Mark's Twitter and Facebook, where he's sharing some videos right now, kind of that I think you did in Lifeway at maybe in Nashville, perhaps, or did they come to you here at DFW?
Well, actually, it was both marketing teams. Guidestone shot the videos, and there was a little post-production at Lifeway. But we did them here at the building at Guidestone with our marketing team. So there was a combination of the two, because since all the proceeds have been donated, I've donated all the royalties to Mission Dignity, benevolent ministry for retirement age pastors and widows. That's it's been a real joint effort between the two ministries.
Well, hey, Mark, thanks for being on today. And if you're listening to this, be sure to click on the link, buy the book, give it away. And until next time, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel you declare. And may the Astros continue to flounder in second or third or fourth place.
Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And as a Christ follower, you are called to obey the Great Commandment, and you are called to pursue the Great Commission. Southwestern Seminary will encourage you to love God with all you are and will equip you to serve God wherever He calls. Whether you're just beginning your journey or have decades of experience, Southwestern Seminary will equip you to live your calling. This seminary is grace-filled, Christ-centered, scripturally grounded, confessionally guided, student-focused, and globally engaged. And you can learn more about Southwestern Seminary's core values at swibbets.edu/core values.
What's wrong with you people?